Life is a workout, and Smoothie King is here to help you power through. Whether you're grinding out bicep curls, or muscling the couch across the living room, crushing morning miles, or sprinting through back-to-back meetings, Smoothie King has fuel to help you maximize your workouts, own your recovery, and elevate your game. Give your body the energy, protein, and power it needs with a lineup of delicious smoothies made to help you conquer your goals. Only at Smoothie King.
Remember when the Beast becomes funny and has like frilly little things in his hair and it's like, oh.
They're beastie. Outside in the snow. They're being really silly.
And he has that thin little waist. I love his dog waist. I'm kidding.
Yeah, I think you are into animals. Right? Welcome back to That's a Gay Ass Podcast, the podcast that asks, whose fault is it that you're gay? It's me, Eric Williams, and this week we have Greg Brown of ASAP Science fame. And when I say fame, I mean fame, y'all. Their videos have kajillion views. They're all over TikTok, Instagram, a million subscribers on YouTube. Greg and his boyfriend Mitch do ASAP Science. It's all about making science make sense. It's gay, it's hilarious, and this episode is fucking insane in the best way. But before we get into it, I have news. Remember last week I told you that Matt was potentially allowing us to get a dog after years of devastation and him saying no? Well, the results are in. And we got the dog, babe. Oh my God. So much can change in a week. And this is what went down. So on Friday of last week, Matt went early in the morning to the shelter because the dog showed up that we had seen from Twitter on the shelter's website. I couldn't go because of work. So his sister, who was in town, went with. They call me being like, we need this dog. And I was like, okay, well, now I'm freaking out because I haven't even met him. Am I adopting a dog I haven't met? The anxiety skyrocketed. So what we said was, you know what? I'm going to try to get an appointment for that day. Turns out they were booked. They could only do walk-ins for the next day. And they were saying that there's a chance this dog would be gone by them because he's exactly what fags want. I'm sorry, exactly what people want. He's 12 pounds. He's so sweet. So I did everything I could do to get an appointment for that day. And your girl did it. I worked the charm. I made sure to drop that my husband had been there because, you know, we got to make sure they know I'm gay. And so I got in at 4 p.m. I walk into the shelter. I meet the dog. 15 minutes later, I'm signing the papers. He is an angel. And we do have a name. I would like to formally announce that I would like to introduce you to our dog, Freddie, my love, Lummis Williams. Or according to Matt, just Freddie. I say Freddie, my love, because of the Grease reference. Matt likes Freddie because the guy who found him on Twitter called him Freddie because his nails were long like Freddy Krueger. I resent it. I know a lot of people are horror girls. It's just not me. I don't want to be like, here's my dog, the guy that kills people in a movie. It's not my bag, baby. But whatever way you put it, Freddie is our love, and I just can't wait to be obnoxious for a little bit online. I really am going to do everything I can to like be obnoxious when we get him and then kind of just like calm it down and let him be the best thing that happened to me off camera. Another exciting announcement is I have decided to not put the merch up for sale just yet because I'm involving you and I need your help. My friends, I asked on the Gay Ass Podcast Instagram story about who made you gay and y'all delivered. So that means we're able to do something I like to call merch madness. We're going to be doing a voting system to figure out which icons are going to make it onto the merch, because the merch for Gay Ass Podcast will tell the people around you who made you gay. I'm going to post the design on the Instagram story and also the way to vote for the merch madness. The top five icons or moments that can fit on the shirt will make the five final t-shirt designs. If you are not a queer girly, do not worry. We also have merch for you that is so incredibly cute and iconic. I'm kind of surprised I haven't seen people wearing them everywhere. So go to the Gay Ass Podcast Instagram, vote there, rock the vote. I need your voice to be heard. And then we'll get them up for sale very soon. Let's get into this week's episode, though. This is Greg Brown from ASAP Science. You gotta follow him and watch all of ASAP Science's videos. So informational, so funny. And y'all, science, they made it gay as hell. let someone know you like this podcast. We're at Gay Ass Podcast on Instagram. I'm at Eric Wills. Check out Freddie as we welcome him home. And please enjoy this gosh darn ep. Oh my goodness gracious, looking sweaty and stunning and gorgeous is the icon that is Gregory Brown from Aesop Science. I have to tell you, we have had some scheduling snafus only because I think in the way that it's delayed the beautiful gratification of having you on this podcast. I'm so fucking excited you were here, and thank you for doing this, Greg. I truly mean that.
That's such a nice way of saying that I got COVID and then I was a mess. And then now I'm sweaty because I biked here and I feel like a mess now. It's a really nice way of putting that I'm a mess, but we are now here. Thank you.
I don't think you're a mess, actually. I think that you're just busy and had COVID.
Yeah, busy and had COVID. My memoir.
Are you doing okay, babe?
Yeah. I'm post-COVID. The antibodies are flowing. The whole world's opened up. So I'm in Toronto and we are obsessed with weather because, you know, four season city, probably gets colder than a lot of parts of America. It's now currently hot. It's May. Everyone's losing their fucking minds. Everyone is like shorts out, tits out, nipples out. I'm biking everywhere. I'm like, this is what happiness feels like.
They're like plastering their assholes to grass anywhere that they can.
Honestly, BJs are happening in public right now. I can tell you that all across the city of Toronto. Please come here.
I've actually never seen a public blowjob, I don't think, which is kind of an embarrassing thing to admit.
And you host a gay ass podcast? Come on.
Who do I think I mean, have I? I'm sure I have. No, I
haven't either.
I actually take that back. I think I have.
You know, when you like watch porn and there's like the people giving blowjobs in the streets of like a party?
Oh, yeah. Like
I always find that very interesting.
I mean, interesting for the fact that you always see it happening. And then you also see like a 62-year-old uncle videotaping it also from the other side.
Yeah. Also, people are casually having like a cocktail. Some people aren't even looking. I'm like, if I was in the vicinity of that, I could not stop looking. I'd be on weed for sure. And I would be like unable to not look away because it's like, what an amazing thing to see. I'm just always amazed at the casualness of all the bystanders.
Well, there's the bystander casualité. There's also the videos of like park cruising. There's the car videos. There's just a lot of mechanics.
Uber porn turns me on. This is the gay ass podcast, right? I'm like, I don't know what we're talking about, but that's what we're talking about right now. What a fantasy.
Truly. You know what? In terms of fantasies, Uber is a good one. I've always had a grocery store fantasy of like, you're just perusing the produce. The next thing you know, you see a hot guy that's like also perusing produce. And then you're like, whoa, let's get out of here.
I'm so not horny in produce. I've never had that. I've never thought of that.
So you're saying that like during the eggplant bonanza, you had no feeling?
No, never cognitively did anything to my neurons. I never cared. I only want to hook up with an Uber driver. Or actually, I used to get, before weed was legal in Toronto, I used to, some of the few times I'd ever hang in close quarters with what were seemingly straight men was there were drug dealing companies that you would order the weed to your house and you'd have to go and get in the car with them and then do a little drive and they'd give you the weed. And it always like reeked of pot. It always was like kind of a messy car. The guys were sometimes really cute. And I always was like, this is going to be the time. And I'd always flirt. But no, never. That's another fantasy. Also, once got in the wrong car, scared the shit out of a woman. I got in with such confidence, opened the door, was like, hey, she was like, what the fuck? And then like her husband ran out of the front door, was like, what the fuck are you doing? And I was like, I'm so sorry. I thought this was my drug dealer.
Yeah. I'm so sorry. I'm doing an illegal transaction in another vehicle.
I'm so sorry. It was insane. She had just got her kid out of a stroller. Like, it was crazy.
You know what? That has happened to me one time before where I actually opened like a red sedan and saw a very scared child. But who are we? Who are we to not walk outside of a building, assume it's the stranger that's picking us up, but we go to the wrong stranger? This should be forgiven more easily by the strangers whose vehicles are entered into.
It's when gay voice is a very powerful tool.
Exactly. It's like, no.
Sorry. Oh my God. Gay,
you just elongate the S. You just go with,
sorry. Honestly,
I've gone away with murder. I've literally murdered someone, but gay voice comes in. No.
Bam. Sorry, bitch.
They're like literally bleeding out of their head.
I used to be so intense in university. Like if like a guy looked me the wrong way, I'd be like, you fucking homophobe, and be like so insane. And I'd be like, what, you're gonna hit me? Oh, you're gonna hit a gay guy.
The bravery of you admitting that you weaponized your homosexuality.
I fully did. Like hide behind my girlfriends and be like, oh, you're gonna hit a girl.
You're not gonna give me a 20% discount, Target. You're homophobic. Yeah. You're homophobic.
Also, like, there'd be straight clubs where you can't wear, like, tank tops. That was, like, a thing, but I'd always be wearing a tank top, and they'd be like, you have to get out. And I'd be like, homophobic box! And they'd be like, really? No, there's just a dress code, you idiot. And I was like, well, that's
you're at
so
a five-star Michelin-star restaurant.
I hate dress codes.
I mean, listen, it's we are being told what we have to be growing up, and if we can't wear a tank top, then that is stripping away our gay rights.
Exactly. Exactly.
Wait, since we are on the subject of hookups and hot men, I think I need to drop the reference of the Jeff Probst nudity cake that you got Mitch for his birthday. Wait, I also want to just like, I know that listeners know, but you can I tell you how much of an icon you guys are? Like,
oh my God.
For like, it's so crazy how crazy in the fact of just like, you deserve all of the success, but how huge your stuff is. Your videos are incredible. You guys are gay excellence, genius excellence. And also, what I like about you so much is that you bring intelligence to a gorgeous horniness, which I find to be so relatable. You're hot and smart, and that's what the world needs more of.
Oh my God, wow. I blush across my face. Well,
listen, that's very true. Nice. So that means I want to, so since I just had to get that out of the way, you got a cake of Jeff Probst nude from, it was Mitch's birthday, right?
Yeah, they wouldn't let me do full cock on cake. That was an awkward conversation with the cake people. They were like, I sent the image. They were like, we do not do this.
We cannot do this gorgeous, like, fully.
Gorgeous. Full. Penis.
I didn't know. See, when you posted that, I didn't know that picture was out there until you posted that. And so I made a quick trip to Reddit and oh my God, it's legit, right? We think it's him.
Yeah, it's legit. It's legit. It's very posed. So this is Jeff Probst nude. You can definitely find it online. It's actually quite easy. Google sometimes just puts it right at the top.
Oh.
You know what I mean? It's not even that hard where you have to go learn how to code and go into Reddit or whatever.
All right. Dig.
So Mitch is absolutely obsessed with competition reality TV shows, specifically Survivor. He's been on the Canadian Big Brother. He is like fully invested in these shows, which I don't really watch. So there's like a difference in that. He loves Survivor so much. So yeah, you can get images on cakes, people. It's 2022. And I was like, oh, I'm going to get him a cake as his happy birthday with Jeff Probst fully naked on it. You just send the image. They say we don't do full semi-hard dicks on cakes. And I did think after all my friends were like, you know, there's like, you know, a 16-year-old could be working at this cake shop. Like, you asshole. True. So we cut it off at the pelvis. But I think Jeff Probst and that era was absolutely sexy. And his dick is great.
Great dick. And honestly, dick. Even without the cock and balls, the cake delivers. I think it's such a hot pick. His body is slamming.
I know, it's a really weird dick pic because it's like he's smiling like he's on a vacation with his family and he's pulling his dick. His dick is like going straight down, but it is hard. And there's a little like photo frame behind him. And depending on which nude you're looking at, people will change that photo frame. Sometimes it's really funny.
Does he have foreskin or not? I don't remember.
I'm like getting hard. Can we change the subject?
Listen, when Jeff Probst is brought up, I know it's literally impossible not to have blood flow. So then can I ask about how you and Mitch met?
Yeah, so Mitch and I met in university, which is like what Canadians call college.
I know, it feels like it's so Harry Pottery. I love that.
Yeah, there's some like weird, you guys like have call. I don't know, whatever. Y'all are crazy. We met at university. We were both studying biochemistry. I was out flaming gay man. Mitch was not out yet. And we were sort of like, it's very cliche now. We would get together and study our science textbooks together. Like we were studying for exams. And yeah, it was just sort of an interesting time where I was like loud and exuberant. And he was like, shut the fuck up. Like, I don't even know if I'm gay yet. And I was like, you're gay.
Was there a lot of tension while you were studying? Like a lot of sexual tension?
Oh my God. Yeah. Well, I was also just like, let's just go have sex. And he was like, I don't know what's going on. So like, it was very just like one-sided, but like really fun. And then it just sort of evolved. And then we started to date and then we left university. I became a science teacher, which was always my dream. And he really was interested in like editing we both have like a strong passion for art and science. Like my degree is in biochemistry, but also visual arts. I love to paint. Oh. Mitch is like an incredible musician, also an amazing like videographer and editor. So the whole ASAP science thing sort of, it's weird because we had all these things that we were interested in that we were like, that were really sparse and no one would ever be like, oh, you can make a career out of any of these skills.
That's what's so crazy about you guys is that usually people are really good at the sciencey stuff or really good at like the artsy visual creatory things, but it makes me a little angry that you guys can do both, because I was a very big nerd in school, like was so obsessed with the grades of it all, but science always came really more difficult for me. Like I have a twin brother who did all the like most advanced chemistry classes, and I was like so angry that I didn't have the mind to do that. I was a better writer, but like I couldn't do the science. But like you guys can do it all. Do you, what was your worst school subject? Please tell me you were like
literally writing. Oh, like I'm amazing. Like I'm like, when you just said you're good at writing, I'm like, that's interesting, because I literally hate TID English class. It would be like I was a bit of a high achiever too. It's like the classes where I get my low 70s, and I'd be like, why the hell? Like, yeah. I'd be like, tell me why. And they'd be like, you know, like I what frustrated me, like why I loved math and science was I knew the answer. And if it was wrong, I knew why it was wrong.
Yeah.
I had a hard time with the in-between, and I could see objectively why other people who were better at writing, when I'd read their writing, I'd be like, damn, that was good. But it's like, I couldn't understand how to like get myself there. It was always English. But even though I loved it, I was like, oh, we get to watch Romeo and Juliet in class. Like, fuck yeah. Like I wasn't not enjoying myself, but I was very frustrated with my marks because I wasn't like not trying.
Right, of course.
And, yeah.
It's very Katie Heron in Mean Girls, where she's like, math is a universal language no matter what country you're in. That's so beautiful.
I mean, kind of true. Unless an alien comes and it's like all your math is wrong, which I do think would be funny to watch all the physicists like shit themselves. Because
fuck, the alien is smarter than us. Fuck.
Yeah, like we were wrong about time and gravity. But
so embarrassing. But,
yeah, so it was definitely English. And I will say like my strengths in art are like painting. It's like it's none of that writing or grammar. I don't understand commas to this day. Like that's it. That's the stuff I was bad at. But I do really think there's a huge issue with the way that school's designed. It's a very huge societal thing. It's kind of linked to, like, in my opinion, like misogyny of the way that science and art are like split, and the way that like it's a big thing. Me and Mitch like talk to like academics all the time about. It's a huge issue. It's also why, like, you know, there's not very many, like, as gay men, we are usually like obviously more feminine. We're more drawn to quote unquote feminine things. And I think a lot of gay men also feel that sort of unfair societal pressure that we're not good at math and science, because it's always like, you know, nerdy bros that are good
You're
at it.
Right.
So it's like, it is not, it's like an actual serious issue within like academia that people talk about a lot. And I do feel like it's not surprising that a lot of gay men aren't like, yeah, like our audience for our YouTube channel is like 60-70% straight men. And then there's us like, what the fuck? Like trying to figure out how to make these videos that work on this platform that's like incel vibe. So like,
God. Wait, that is so interesting that the audience is hetero. I mean, the question is begging to be asked of like, a little nature versus nurture of our, like, is the society telling young queer people that they're not good at?
Yeah, it's fully that. Like, well, they've done a lot. Like, I mean, it's all social science, which like is a lot harder to have any definitive answers about, which is why awful misogynist men can like have their opinions and like find the arguments that they want to back it up what they think.
Right.
But a lot of the studies that I look to that are interesting are about places like Iceland, where they do studies on there's a lot more gender equality, and the women just like slay the men in math. Like they do studies where they like actually teach things differently and like don't allow the types of like societal input that we all deal with into things, and the women do better. Like women are obviously smarter than men. We all know that. Like,
oh,
it's not.
Agreed.
Yeah. It's like, in my opinion, it's fully societal. 1000%. There's this really great book called The Disordered Cosmos that just came out by this like black woman who is an astrophysicist, and she fucking goes in on all this stuff. It's an amazing book. You'll learn a lot about like the Big Bang and like the universe and these amazing things while simultaneously learning about how fucked up the sciences are. And
oh,
like,
my God. Yeah, I mean, I can't, I A, can't imagine that. B, I will go on record saying that I think only women should be leaders of countries. I think the Supreme Court should only be women. I think...
Angela Merkel, we love. Nicola Sturgeon, the one,
go off.
The Scottish Prime Minister, is epic. I'm obsessed with her. I saw her talk once and I was like, horny. She's so fucking cool and she wants to leave the UK and I'm like, go off. I'm a separatist. Okay. I don't know what that means. Maybe I was just canceled.
I'm a separatist. I mean, I could not tell you. You're talking to the, you're the smart one. I'm the dumb
she
one.
She wants to leave and like, she convinced me anyway. She was great.
Listen, for all of the straighties that are watching the YouTube vids, do you think that you are, and feel free to give the brutal, honest answer, do you think any of them go into watching your videos like never knowing a gay person in their life, and then maybe part of the, they're like, oh, maybe I'm changing my way that I perceive gay people?
I would be, that's a gorgeous thought to have. And I'd like to think that there's someone out there where that happens.
That has to be, right?
So the interesting thing about YouTube is that those videos are truly delivered around the world. So you get viewed by a lot of people in countries where like homosexuality is like not the same thing it is as it is in America. Mm-hmm. So predominantly our viewers are in America, Canada, Australia, Britain, English speaking countries, mm-hmm. but also they caption all the videos pretty well. So it's kind of interesting. Like we do get a lot of comments from people that are like so deeply homophobic, but also really curious, like very much like, wow, I've never like seen an open gay person talk about. We did a video on like poppers, like the science of poppers. And that was great. That was like our, I think our audience of men were like, what the fuck? And there were just people being like, there was like interesting sort of moments where I was like, I think these people are actually learning a lot and feeling more like getting a little on board with our messages in a way.
Yeah.
Like, cool. They probably didn't, it'd be hard to be exposed to this though.
Well, that's the whole, what I have found as a aged gay man, 32, is that I forget how so many straight people and like the groups they run in literally don't know a single gay person.
Yeah.
And, like a lot of the things that we think are sort of widely known are completely like, even when it comes to, let's say, poppers, even when it comes to like I've talked to straight friends about open relationships and they are so incredibly scandalized by even the thought of that world. Yeah. Was it, so you like in a group of queer people?
It's fucking weird when gay people aren't in open relationships. I'm kidding.
I mean that, but that's a, like a, that's.
But
a
it's kind of that in my group of friends. Like we're all like in open relationships. But I do also think there's a really important. Like I do think that we're gonna get to a closing relationship trend soon. I think.
Of course. I mean, I think.
But no, you're so right. Like it's not even an interesting conversation in gay communities. But then straight people would probably like gossip if that happened.
Well, I have to say that we had an amazing comedian on a few weeks ago, Sydney Washington, and I was trying to say that because open relationships are so much more common and like less stigmatized in the gay world, that it feels like there's more trust and communication, and like I feel like there's less cheating when there's more of a willingness to be open.
Yeah,
but she was saying that a lot of her friends who are open are completely messing around, and there is a lot of cheating. And the only reason why I bring it up is because obviously I won't give any specifics, but I did hear of a crazy cheating scandal amongst open people. And
how do you cheat when whilst open?
What I found out is that there was I know my friend's listening to this right now being like, I cannot believe you're talking about this. What I had heard in general terms is that the arrangement that was agreed upon had been, according to two people, what they thought was the arrangement, but other people were going outside of what the agreed arrangement was, and it was complete, and for like years it was behind people's backs.
Wow. Okay. So yeah, no, that's true. These things involve communication, which can't be broken.
But that just also, I think, proves that there are toxic people no matter what community you're in. That's just
for
toxicity.
For sure. But you're right about the straight thing. I literally, the other day, so I, spoiled brat over here, I got a canoe that I
saw
on the Lake of Ontario in Toronto. My dream is, I've been waiting on a wait list for 5 years. So I'm now freaking canoeing every day. I'm obsessed. I love bird watching, canoeing, birds. Let's go. But I was waiting for my friend, and I was watching like a volleyball, like an intramural volleyball. And it was just like
hot.
Straight person after straight person, 25 years old. I feel like they just left university. The girls are all cracking their vodka sodas. The guys are like, have literal protein, like, you know, those big protein things.
Oh God, yes.
I can't even say it. That's embarrassing. Of beer. And it was like, they were so straight. It was, I was like, had my binoculars. I was like, I'm going to fucking look at them through these. Like, this was the most fascinating thing. Yeah. The way they talked, the way they interacted, the things they were wearing. I was like, these people don't know a gay person. And I don't know them. Like the whole way that they were moving and talking, I was like, yeah, it is interesting. I forget that this is mainstream society.
Yeah.
And I'm like so out of touch. Like, I was just like, what are they talking about?
Okay, we're leading such parallel lives, because I was at the beach recently and saw a gigantic group of like either collegiate or like very young people, very straight, all the genders.
Were they hot? They're so hot.
And also I'm in California. And so like, you're thinking about California college culture. It was like, they were all just like ripped bodies. But what's so funny is that all the men were hanging out with each other, all the women. Yes. Like, there was such a separation of genders.
It's like a dance. It's like a high school dance.
Yeah, it was like very much eighth grade 1962 film.
Yes.
However, the question became, A, how old actually are you people? Which I kept wanting us to ask them, but true. My friends told me that would be, quote, inappropriate. So then I didn't, but it was just exactly like like you were saying social sciences before. I felt like I was watching you know, when you're in school and like, we're going to do an experiment of like, I mean, it put any like serious topic in here, but for this, I feel like I was watching lab rats, just
honestly
straight
and
people.
The way the men would shift their body language when they'd finally go to the woman, and the way the woman would kind of like skip over to the men, I was like, I was like, you don't need to skip. Like, you were just acting so cool with your girlies. Then all of a sudden a guy comes, like obviously a super hot guy comes close. Yeah. And now you're like changing, and then I'm watching the girls like, oh my god, I was stoned, but I was literally like, I was like, I didn't even want to go canoeing, I just want to watch this. And I made my friend watch for a bit, and he was like, this is fucking weird, like, let's go. I was like, okay, true.
I'm picturing, but anyways, you're right, staring people, in the canoe,
some of them don't, they probably don't know, like, we could be like, we could make those girls laugh so hard by being like, slay, yes mama. They would like lose their minds.
You're
like,
a fucking genius.
They never heard it. Yeah, they probably like, slay,
they've never heard personality from a male person. Wait, so that, because you, I often think about this for smart people like you, because you know all the science behind poppers, does that inhibit or encourage
inhibit,
use of them?
Inhibit.
I truly have never had a sexual moment with a popper, just because I read an article that you can get a blind spot in your eye.
Oh, for sure. It's not it. I can do a quick popper tutorial if you need it. Essentially, it was invented to treat angina because they realized it does, like, it vasodilates certain blood vessels near your heart. So they used to actually give it to people in the 1800s, like, everyone was doing poppers because it was like a form of medicine that actually kind of worked, considering it was 1800s and they were like bloodletting, and like when people were sick, they're like, cut them open and let them bleed, like shit like that. It wasn't a bad idea for that time. But it really is very acute, and it vasodilates your smooth muscle cells. So that's why it does cause a loosening of your anus, your vagina, your throat. And so like, that's all real. Like, all that stuff that people are using it for is not real. But the thing is that essentially a really dangerous part of it is like GHB, Viagra. These are all vasodilators as well. And if you're using it with them, it's like extremely dangerous. And if you end up in the hospital having done those types of things, there's not really pharmacological solutions. Like, it's like a weird answer where people don't realize, like, when you go to a hospital, there are things people can do. But if you're mixing, like, a lot of the things that gay people are mixing, you've now done such kind of a complicated pharmacological thing already to your body. There's not much you can do to fix it.
So, like, you're on your own, babe.
It's really sad. That's why GHB is really dangerous. GHB is sort of like a way of thinking about it physiologically, is that it is a really intense, quick version of getting drunk.
Wait, so what is GHB?
GHB is like a really popular gay drug.
Is it? Do people have call it GHB?
Yeah, or G.
G. Oh, I think
now I'm like, are my friends fucking crazy?
No, I'm very L7 square. I'm very like, I love weed. I love weed. But like, I've never done Molly, which I hear is fun. But like, I'm just that girl that has not done a ton.
Okay, so sorry, to answer the poppers thing, it's just like, it's actually like very strong, it's very intense, it's very, it can make you have a blind spot, it can make you very sick, it's not necessarily worth it. It's also, an like, over long periods of time, so you can do, like, obviously, like, anything, like, physical damage to your brain that can be quite damaging to
your intellect. So what do you, as a doctor, what do you tell people that want to loosen their assholes?
Yeah, I mean, it's sort of like if you really, really need poppers, it's like anything. It's like, do it in moderation, or maybe, I don't know, lube that baby up, let them eat that booty like groceries for like an extra half hour. Why not?
Yeah,
like that's just my opinion. It's just, and just when you learn, like when you learn to look into the science, you're like, this is fucking intense drug. Like, if I spill it on my skin, it burns my skin. Like, no thanks. So
I do hear that very much. People are like, fuck, my messenger bag disintegrated.
Yeah, I know. It's like you're fucking like huffing that shit. But GHB is like, it's a very popular like circuit party drug. I've never done it, but it is physiologically equivalent to a alcohol. So when you mix it, it actually can become quote unquote the date rape drug when mixed with alcohol. Also, if you do that with an upper like ecstasy, that's another situation. And why a lot of people overdose from GHB is because they get to the hospital. And again, you're now having you're physiologically exciting your neurons while suppressing your neurons. You show up at the hospital. The way that they would fix that is to go one way or the other. And now they can't end.
Oy vey.
You literally die. So yeah.
Dark sided. Yeah. All this to say, be careful, girlies.
Be careful, girlies.
Be careful. Well, listen, I wanna tell you that so many lessons are already being learned.
I'm like, okay, we came on the gay ass podcast and was like, don't do poppers, don't do G. It's like, wow, downer. Okay.
No, not even at all. No, upper and downer, apparently.
Upper
So I gotta ask the podcast question, which is Greg Brown from ASAP Science. Whose fault is it that you're gay? Who do we blame?
Oh my
babe? God.
Celine Dion.
Do you know who also answered that?
Really? There's other answers on that?
Someone has already answered Celine Dion, but you're in very good company.
Who?
Bowen Yang from SNL also says,
no way.
Yes, he did. But also, these are Canadians speaking their Canadian gay truth.
But I think that Bowen is from actually Quebec, right?
Yeah, but is that
I'm not from Quebec. I'm like, damn it. He like definitely got in there and has way more legit reason to answer. No, I'm an Anglo-Saxon colonial asshole.
Fuck.
I mean, the French colonized too, but they colonized a quote unquote little bit better way. They were like, let's trade with the indigenous, whereas like my British ancestors were like, let's fucking murder everyone.
Pillage, bitch. Yeah, devastating.
Yeah. Oh my god, that is such good company. Now I'm like, we're just both intellects, okay? Leave us alone.
Leave us alone. I do think though Celine Dion is such a good answer. Was it like a young age situation that you were always into Celine, or did it come?
Oh my god, yeah. Early men's. So this is like even like pre-horny for like the Beast and Beauty and the Beast energy. It's like, sure. I love Celine Dion. It's kind of like, okay, well, that's gay before I was like horny for.
Oh, yeah. Culturally gay, man. Before sexually gay.
Yeah. Do you know what I mean?
I absolutely know. But then, I need to know. A lot of people feel that. The question is about Beauty and the Beast. Were you more drawn to the Beast or Gaston?
Oh, more drawn to the Beast. And also I like made a video that went crazy viral on my Instagram about how like when the Beast became the human, I was like, ew. And then I was like, fuck, am I into animals? Or am I just gay? Like, I don't know how I missed that. Yeah, I was like, it was just some like transition on TikTok, you know, changing lives out here.
Oh
my god, not like... Gaston. Gaston's toe was a sexual awakening for Mitch.
The toe?
Who isn't that into foot stuff, considering, you know, when his toe comes out of his dirty sock at the beginning?
Yes, I do. Yeah.
Beauty and the Beast is hot.
Okay, so it is very hot. The Gaston covered in hair, the Beast also covered in hair.
The Beast is so hot.
He is.
Remember when the Beast becomes funny and has like frilly little things in his hair, and it's like, oh,
they're beastie. Outside in the snow. They're being really silly.
And he has that thin little waist. I love his dog waist. I'm kidding.
Yeah, I think you are into animals. Right?
No.
You're like in his cute puppy ears. I'm like,
oh my god, related to Celine Dion. She sang the theme song. Hello.
She was always there. Isn't that wait, now I'm getting confused. The ending credits are also a version of. It's like
with her.
The duet is so good.
Yeah.
The funny thing is that you recently posted a foot pic on Instagram, in reference to gout.
Yeah, I get gout.
Did you actually have gout?
Yeah, I'm like an embarrassment of riches.
How do you get gout?
Okay, you're now making fun of me on your podcast. That's so mean. I'm kidding.
I'm literally celebrating the gout. I'm saying...
can we not talk about how I have gout? What the fuck is wrong with you? I'm kidding. So you get gout from eating hot... So I'm now vegetarian. I wasn't at the time.
Also, some people in my family have had gout. I support your gout.
Yes, it is.
I'm a gout supporter, first and foremost.
It is. It plagues the white colonial community. I think it's a hilarious thing to get. Apparently, it's back with vengeance with millennials who eat sushi. Apparently, it's like... It's high amounts of uric acid. Too much uric acid in your body. It then gets trapped in, the small vessels of the extraneous parts of your... limbs, but obviously your toes and your fingers are where your blood vessels kind of eventually have to become the smallest and thinnest and spread out. So it mainly happens in your feet. And you'll I used to I got it once after being in New York and going to some restaurant with my sister and just eating steak and red wine. And there's just certain things, high amounts of uric acid, fish, raw fish. That's why the sushi thing that people are kind of getting it without realizing it. They think they're eating a really healthy diet, but they're actually eating a diet that's actually quite rich in uric acid. So you just have to be careful about that. And so now I'm vegetarian, vegan, I'm fine, but I am a gout survivor.
Literally, sort of gout awareness. I do feel bad that I'm making you just explain the drugs.
No, but it's also your gout. Yeah, I know. But also it's weird because it's it plagues people who are more obese or older. I got uncles who've had gout after their 60s. So the fact that I was getting it was really fucking weird. But we did test my blood and I did have high uric acid, but they didn't actually test my, this is awful, but crystals, when you get gout, it's actually physical crystals, and they can put a syringe in, they'll pull it out, they'll put it on a petri dish and be like, that's gout. They never did that with me, but
they
were
pretty
sure. Can
they make a bracelet out of it?
A gorgeous hookah shell, which has got to come back. Everything's cyclical. We'll be in hookah shell territory.
Yeah, there'll be closed relationships and we're all going to be wearing gorgeous necklaces.
I'm seeing Avril Lavigne tonight.
Shut the fuck up.
I should have said that instead of Celine. They're both kind of French-Canadian.
They are. And you know what? I recently made a playlist out of a sad moment. I wanted to hear some bops from before that would really center me. And one of the main songs I would repeat is...
I'm with you.
I'm with you. Yeah.
Iconic song.
There's something about
still
that
beautiful.
Song.
Still beautiful. It's is Joni Mitchell writing this? What's happening here?
Yeah. Who's the actual writer credit? It's just so...
Oh, it's The Matrix. I'm obsessed with Avril Lavigne. It's The Matrix and Avril Lavigne. They also wrote Miss Independent for Kelly Clarkson.
Wait, seriously?
All that shit was for Avril, Avril adjacent. Yeah.
Since You've Been Gone was an Avril bop that went to Kelly?
Yeah, and know who also, I don't know, this is very Canadian. The only person who's going to get this is Bowen Yang. But Chantal Kreviazic and Rain Maida, lead singer of Our Lady Peace, two Canadian musician icons are who wrote with Avril Lavigne and wrote Since You've Been Gone.
Wow. Yeah. Well, we thank them for their service because...
You know who Our Lady Peace is?
I absolutely do not.
That is amazing! Ask any Canadian, we all know who Our Lady Peace is. Do you know who Chantal Kreviazic is?
Bless you.
This is so fucking great. Okay, anyways.
I'm a dumb American.
If you know, you know. If you know, you know.
If you IYKYK.
IYKYK. I always do that wrong.
This is going to be That's a Gay Ass Canadian podcast.
Honest. Okay, but no, I love Celine Dion. And
I love
whatever.
Celine. Do you, were you a Titanic person?
Oh my God. Was anyone not?
I don't
at
know.
At that time? Probably that'd be not. So boring.
Can you imagine someone who
wasn't actually that fucking masterpiece wasn't that good.
Kate Winslet's not a good actor.
Oh my God. Also, when people say who's your favorite actor, I say Kate Winslet.
I love Kate. Did you watch Mare of Easttown?
Loved. Thank God. I'd say the show, 6 out of 10. Kate Winslet in the show brings it 9 to 10, 9 out of 10. Do you know what I mean? She is why that show is good.
I'm really thinking back on this. I think 7.2.
Yeah, it's a good show, but it's just a great show
because of
Kate Winslet. You know what I mean?
And the accent. The accent brings it up another half point.
Okay, once, no, I'm just this is just how I just talk insanely. Please. Once I had to do this really cool Greenpeace, anti-oil activist trip to the Arctic to stop the Canadian government from essentially seismic-blasting for oil in Indigenous waters. I did it with Emma Thompson and her daughter and some other people were on this tiny ship, and Emma Thompson's daughter was she had her phone. We were on the ship. She was oh yeah, like just got back from Kate's Scottish house right before coming here. It was absolutely gorgeous. I was like, Kate. And she was like, Kate Winslet, yeah, she's an actor. And I literally played dumb. I was like, Kate Winslet, yeah, oh yeah.
You did play dumb.
And then I was like, I became a full-on psychopath. I was like, oh my God, yeah, oh yeah, Titanic, yeah, yeah. Oh yeah, she's great, yeah, something like that, yeah. Oh my God, what's her house like? Scotland, what's that like? She's like, oh, it's great, yeah. Like, and she gets her phone and starts showing me photos. I'm like, oh, that's really cool photo. Oh, it's a really big house. Oh my God, like, can I see?
Greg, you're
a
sociopath. The fact that you could do that with a straight face while seeing Kate Winslet's Scottish house is
I lied to get access to photos of Kate Winslet's Scottish home. And now I'm like, am I going to get sniped? Like, should I not have said
that? I think what you're proving is that you could be a serial killer and no one would know.
Yeah, no, it was crazy. Like, oh, no Kate one was Hill? Around.
Pardon?
Yeah, I told Mitch after, he was like, that's really fucked up. I was like, I know, I don't know what just happened.
But honestly, it's also very smart because you were in survival mode. All you wanted to do was see those photos and you did what had to be done.
Just like I saw, she was like, these are her shrubs. I was like, gorgeous shrubs.
Gorgeous. Wait, you're bearing the lead though. What was it like to be on a small boat with Emma Thompson?
Oh, so that's so interesting because I only really knew her from Angels in America. She played the angel. I'm an intellect.
Forgot. I was going to say.
I choose the same things as the intelligent Bowen Yang.
What about Love Actually?
So I actually love Love Actually, true.
Okay, thank you.
Sorry, I think that it was more like when I wanted to sort of, you know, shoot the shit with her. I was like, oh, I loved her in Angels in America. But I didn't have this sort of like cultural obsession with her. And since then, I've sort of like noticed she's absolutely hilarious. She does these, she's exactly who she is in those kind of interviews that you see, like, which is really refreshing. She was so exuberant. She was very aware of her like position in the sense that she obviously was there to bring awareness. And she said she was just so like nice to everyone, so gracious and such an actor. Like, I mentioned that I liked Angels in America, and I guess the director had recently died, and she like grabbed my hand. She's like, you know, Michael passed away recently. and the thought that a young gay man has been moved by such a piece. She like started to cry. I was like, oh my God. Like, you know, like I'm not like that. I'm like, I can talk like this, but I'm not emotionally open. Like, she was just letting it flow.
I am beaming. This is such a good story. Yeah. I'm on the boat with you right now. She's holding my hand.
Yeah, it was kind of crazy. Like, it was like, I felt like a little weird because I was like, I don't know how to interact with people like this because, like, I'm like, what the hell?
You're staring into her tear-stained eyes.
I was literally like, or actually, like, I don't even like that movie that much. Like, I don't know. Like, Tom, like, it's okay. You don't need to cry.
You're like, put the walls up.
She also would drink a cup of she would have gin in a mug every night before bed.
That is such a British actress thing to do. Just a little cuppa.
But I am scarred because we went to this like gorgeous like fjord and it was really cloudy. And me and Mitch had to get back to film the video we were going to release and then also make this video with like Bill Nye. Plus, I had a wedding. Essentially, if we weren't there, they would have obviously stayed for like the mist to pass so that you could see this absolutely gorgeous fjord in the Arctic that no one will ever be able to see again. And it was like this sad meeting where we were like, we gotta go. And Emma Thompson was like, yeah, you're sure you gotta go?
And I
was
like, oh no, you stole Emma Thompson's fjord.
She was like, I hope your wedding is like, I hope that you're really close with the person you met. Like, it was like, it wasn't that mean, but it was like, I still can sometimes wake up at night and I'm like, I stole like a gorgeous travel experience from Emma Thompson and her daughter.
But who among us doesn't have moments where you wake up in a wet sweat night of sleep and you're like, oh fuck, I stole Emma Thompson's fjord.
I stole Emma Thompson's fjord. But she was great. She was exactly who she was. And since then, I've really sort of like watched more of her and watched her interviews and be like, ah, she's super cool.
I'm glad to, because when you find out when a celebrity like that is not cool, it is truly a hit.
It could have been bad. Actually, she said something interesting. She was the first person to ever say that she thought Hamilton. So she said Hamilton, it was good, but it was a lot of male energy. I thought there could have been more feminine. Why not have women play the men? And I kind of was like, at that time, like, girl, you're canceled. Don't come for Hamilton. But since then, I'm like, huh? She was white feminist queen.
White feminist queen. And honestly, like, as problematic as it's been, like, talking poorly about Lin-Manuel Miranda, I think is okay. I'm okay with that.
Oh, you're one of those. I love him.
It's not that I dislike him. It's that I love his work and I dislike the centering of himself in some of the things that have become. It's just like we're saying things are cyclical. Yeah. I have Lin-Manuel cycles where I'm like listening to and watching Moana every day, Hamilton stuff. And then I see him pop up in a cameo in The Heights. I'm like, get the fuck off the screen, even though he literally wrote it, which I love.
I know.
It's just the cycle.
But it is annoying because it's just like, you don't need to sing the song. There's so many people can sing the song.
Exactly.
Also, Moana, I watched that recently with my nephew. It's like, Disney's insane. Like, that whole message of that movie is like, nature is beautiful. We must preserve nature. And then I'm like, they're just like having 1,000 Bangladeshi kids make little Moanas. Like, it's just like, it's like so menacing. I was like, this is so amazing that my nephew gets this message. And then I was like, wait a second. Like, now I'm going to buy him a Moana like plastic doll. Like, what the fuck? They're lying to us. At least Toy Story was like, just about suburban white people. Like, I don't know. There's something menacing about this.
I didn't even think about the merch. Fuck.
The merch. The Moana merch. It's like, there shouldn't be there better not be Moana merch.
And if there is any merch, you better be making it sustainable and all the money is going to saving the
but
earth.
But it's not.
It's not. Disney is sometimes black girl. Cast lighter. I could watch Moana sometimes with my nephew. I'm like, I don't know, do you want to watch Moana? And he's like, we just did. And I'm like, yeah, but we know the way. I do want to ask another podcast question, Greg, which is, if the world was ending and you could only save one character actress, who would you save?
Oh my god, but can I say Kate Winslet?
You can,
because like, is that a character? But I've always kind of like crossed my eyes and gotten a migraine when people are like, that's a character actress and that's not. Like,
everyone is triggered. The more and more I do this podcast, people are triggered by the question about character actress. It's literally a female. It's Kate's a character. The fact that Kate did an accent that like intense on Mare, that's a character actress.
Because it's just someone who can show up and like morph.
Yeah, exactly.
That's Kate. You know what?
The second you said that, I went into a show that I'm currently watching on HBO. It's the new version of The Staircase with Toni Collette.
The Staircase was that documentary, right?
It's the documentary, but it's a real Durham, North Carolina woman that was found in a bloody mess at the bottom of the stairs, and the husband says she fell, but they're like, wait a minute.
Made it into a dramatic.
Now it's like a scripted series on HBO. Okay. And it is just it's just the whole story is insane, like face value, what actually happened, and then now dramatizing it. Because there was a documentary made about it while the trial was happening. So in the scripted version, you see the documentary crew like around his daughters.
Wow.
It's just like a very, very meta, insane. And also the question still is begging to be asked, what the fook happened to her?
Oh my god. And so Toni Collette is killing it, is your point. Like, that's a character.
She's
actress.
Killing it. She's the yeah, exactly. She to me is transforming into this like
the Kate Winslet of Australia.
She's the Australian.
Oh no, Kate Blanchett might be mad about that. What's with Kate? Wow.
We should call her.
Yeah, imagine. I was like, maybe I'll call Kate Winslet after this.
Sorry, I'm gonna text her. We hear on the microphone here.
So like, okay, I'm definitely just gonna say Kate Winslet.
I think that's a gorgeous
because
answer.
I already said that.
It's a great answer, and I think Kate wins. Also, I think as a on a human level, I bet you Kate is a great time.
Oh my god, for sure! Remember, she carried like some old man out of a burning building. It was like, okay, I hope to god this is true and not like a Daily Mail. I was like wasted and went on Daily Mail or something. But okay, you know, like the Virgin Galactic guy. The Elon Musk of like 10 years ago. What's his name?
Oh,
he owns Virgin.
He also was a shark on Shark Tank for a second. I was like a guest, like Richard Branson or something.
Yeah. Something about that. I think she was dating Richard Branson's like nephew or something weird. She was on Richard Branson's island. The house is burning down. She's dating some millionaire. The millionaire's grandma's in the house. She goes in, carries the grandma out of that burning house.
Bluff.
So now you need to fact check this. Everyone listening needs to fact check this, but I believe this to be true.
And where's so that movie? Where's that movie? Where Kate Winslet carrying her millionaire boyfriend's burning
grandma
up grandmother out of a private island's burning home. That takes me to a movie I watched on the plane recently that is M. Night Shyamalan's Old, because I wanted to watch
I've heard some hilarious lore around this movie.
Wait, what's the lore? Okay, well, first of all...
Like, that it's actually funny.
Oh my God, it's so funny because I was telling a friend that I think the actual conceit is based off a book, which is a smart, crazy conceit. You go to an island and then it makes you old in about 4 seconds flat. You're like, fuck, that's
oh my God,
that's crazy. Their bodies are changing. Like the girl gets pregnant within about 4 seconds and then gives birth to the baby 5 minutes later. Like it's truly unhinged. But the acting is so hokadoo. Also, my favorite part of the whole movie is that they of course have different actors playing the people at different ages that are speeding up fast, but their accents change with every new actor. So you're like, wait a minute, how did they gain?
You're like actually lost. You're like, I actually don't know who that like, is.
Wait, who are they playing? Like it's just it looks like a student film that is an hour and 40 minutes that had a crazy budget and just was.
Love that he's just still keeps. It's just like Signs was just so too good that we're all just like, yeah, make another one.
You know what?
Try again, girly.
We'll give you.
People get super old real fast. Write the check.
Paramount. And the poster for the movie is like the girls with feet in the sand. Yes. One of them's like her gorgeous young foot. The other one's a skeleton.
Yeah, I've literally seen people on Instagram be like, "This movie's jokes." Like, and just like that image of the leg and being like, "Huh." And okay, I still am just like, I don't know what the fuck Bowen Yang said about Celine Dion, but I know it was better. I feel like I haven't said enough. So obsessed with Celine Dion, like everyone should be. Apparently, have you heard about her new movie?
Elite? No.
Okay, so it's not her new movie. It is a French, real France. Sorry, Quebec. Now Quebec wants to separate. I don't want Quebec to separate from Canada. I'm not a separatist in Canada. I'm a separatist solely in Scotland. So it's a French, the mainland France movie, apparently quite a high budget, where this comedian, a really funny comedian in France, plays Celine Dion, but they couldn't get the proper rights.
So it's Aline.
Aline. All the songs, instead of like, I'm alive, it's like, I'm happy. They sing the same songs, like with the same tunes, but they decide instead of getting a different actor to play her when they're older, they CGI this woman's face onto a child actor. And apparently it is like Cats, like insane ass, like creepy CGI that doesn't work well. That's like really insane. And the whole movie is obviously like, apparently pretty funny and interesting, but actually quite a blockbuster success in France. But this like uncanny valley of her face on a child actor, I need to see it. It's not out in Canada yet.
Is it supposed to be funny?
I think, well, she's a, from what I've read, the person playing her is like a comedian. So like, I don't know if it's supposed to be funny, but I know it's just like a really harsh take. And I've read like some funny, like con, like post, or as we say in America, cans. Like people discourse. Who are writing like as much as like the gorgeous new like I don't know like Xavier Dolan feature was amazing. I cannot stop thinking about this fucking Aileen movie. Like they were all just like, and it was crazy that they put her face on a kid, and it was a choice, and it was like impactful, even though it might have been funny, and we don't really know what the intention was. It was like.
You know what this is a fucking cult classic in the making.
Yes, in the making, and apparently. There's some backlash because it is like, was she groomed by Renee? But I must say, Renee and Celine, I mean, together until he died. You can't say that about many Hollywood couples. Also, I saw Celine Dion in Las Vegas 3 days before Renee died.
Shut up.
And we were there re-scrolling Twitter. We're like, come on, buddy, you can't die. She's going to cancel. She did it. It was her last performance before he died. Not that I was thinking like that, even though I just admitted that I was. And she was incredible. To the last dying, his last dying breath.
Love it. Your hits keep on coming with the devastating situation, circumstances of how you saw Celine Dion. Yeah. And she sounded gorgeous till his last dying breath.
And it was my first concert, Toronto Molson Amphitheater. Parents got me tickets, cried when I got them.
Greg.
They still needed me to come out to them, even though I bawled my eyes out when I was in grade 7.
You're weeping, shoulder shaking at a Celine Dion concert.
And I have a strong memory. Sorry, this is my Celine go off. I have a strong memory of, you know, the song with Yo-Yo Ma, like, I've been waiting for you here. Okay, so there's a famous pause in that song where she goes like, I've been waiting. And I was like there as a kid. And it was like, I remember I was on the grass, we're like way far back. And I forgot about the pause. And it was like, I've been, and I was like, wow, like screamed it. And it was like, I just remember all the like 40-year-old women around me with their wines, like losing their fucking shit, laughing in my face. I was so embarrassed. And I'd run to the front. My mom was at the back. I ran back to my mom. I was like, I fucked up. I said, wait for you way too early.
I love that you told your mom, though. I would have kept it to the grave. I actually thought you were going to say, I've been. And then during the pause, you're like, I'm gay. Wait for you. Like, what has been uttered during that pause? Only God and Celine Dion knows.
It's such an incredible pause. Such an incredible song. Have you seen the movie Mommy by Xavier Dolan?
No.
Hey, gotta go watch that movie right now.
You're a culture queen. Now I'm feeling I have such gaps in my knowledge.
Well, it's a French-Canadian movie, It is an incredible movie. He became a very famous director. He's a gay Canadian director. Became very famous after this movie. But there is a scene in it with Celine Dion's on the Champs-Élysées that you'll never forget. It's beautiful.
I just want to hear you say Champs-Élysées again.
On the Champs-Élysées.
What is that?
Like an absolutely stunning Celine Dion song. I'll send it to you after this. Oh, and there's a dance scene where I'm going to start crying. You have to watch Mommy. This is a Canadian CanCon episode.
Canadian CanCon.
And go listen to Our Lady Peace while you're at it.
Oh my God. The things you're doing to Canada right now, they're going to not separate because of this. like me pretending I know anything about anything political.
No, that worked.
So before we have to close out soon, which I fucking detest, I want to ask you a question that I have not prepped you on, which is, my dear friend Greg Brown from Aesop Science, what is the best Whoopi Goldberg film?
Oh my God. Cultural blind spot. I'm like, The View? I'm like panicking.
You actually are loud. You are.
I feel like everyone probably said Sister Act, Sister Act 2, which I pretend that I like know more about like than I do.
Well, you've seen Sister Act 2, right? Please tell me you have.
Yeah, I have. But then I'm like, I was obsessed with Lauryn Hill, and I'm like, or have I just watched Lauryn Hill montage? It's like, I like, you know what
but
I mean?
That's why I was obsessed with Lauryn Hill, is because of that movie. Specifically,
I was
song,
obsessed with Lauryn Hill because Rosie left Rosie O'Donnell.
Oh, Rosie.
Anything Rosie O'Donnell said to do, our family did, including go to New York right after September 11th to help bring back the city.
Oh my God, you did that?
I saw Ground Zero quite ruined. Okay.
Oh my God, you went to literal Ground Zero.
Literally, my parents are like very frugal and like we never traveled. And Rosie O'Donnell was like, we need to build that New York. We got on a plane. It was like, it was like a month after September 11th. Like, it was like,
did you see a Broadway show?
We must have, but we weren't like swimming in money, so I don't think we did.
Well, Rosie,
but we did
is such
try
a
to get on
girl.
Rosie. Yeah, we almost got on Rosie O'Donnell, so we were kind of there to do was to go on Rosie O'Donnell, but we didn't quite make it in. And I don't think that we saw a Broadway show, but we did see Ground Zero,
and that's all that matters is that you went to the most devastating spot in New York at the time.
It was my first flight, and it's such a close flight, and from Toronto to New York, when the plane landed, it was like, we essentially like went up in the air and went back down. And I assumed it was a 4-hour flight. So when the plane landed, I thought we crashed into something. And I screamed. I was like, what the fuck? And then my parents were like, no, we landed. Because I was like napping.
I'm picturing an 11-year-old screaming on the plane as they land. Everyone around you is also now freaking out because they're hearing screaming.
Well, it was that weird time where like people were like weirdly not going to New York because they like thought it was going to happen again. And my parents were like, that's not going to happen again. And Rosie's telling us to go. Let's go. So I was like, it was scary. Like there was no one on the airplane. And I was constantly like, we're going to crash into a building. And then
you have so many gorgeous memories of you shouting amongst the crowd. And I think that
this is me completely like not having an answer to the Whoopi Goldberg thing.
You said The View, you said Sister Act 2, you said Lauryn Hill, you did your job.
But like, what are answers to this? I feel, why don't I know?
Sister Act 2 is the answer that I always fish for because it's my favorite movie of all time.
So like, what is it, like Ghost?
People say Ghost, people say Color Purple, people say, and then sometimes I'll pull in a random Whoopi film, like The Associate. I still haven't watched it, even though multiple people.
So why are you asking this? Is Whoopi your Kate Winslet?
Yes, Whoopi is my Kate Winslet. She is my, okay, I haven't told anyone this because it hasn't come up until right now. I was just in New York City doing my first visit since I'd moved from there 7 months ago. And I saw
sorry.
And so I saw a Broadway show that doesn't need to be
Which
named.
One?
Okay, well, I saw two shows, and I publicly want to say that Broadway is the moment and needs to be supported. It was, I saw Into the Woods with Sarah Bareilles, Neil Patrick Harris. It was it's apparently rumored to go to Broadway. It was like a concert version. It was unbelievable, wow. Unbelievable. The other Broadway show I saw was Funny Girl, which was a show. And so,
isn't there someone famous in that?
Beanie Feldstein.
No, I thought that person who everyone loves was in that again or something. Wasn't Bette Midler in it?
She was in Hello Dolly. You're also
Maybe
are you thinking of Sutton Foster doing the Music Man?
No, I'm not. I'm realizing I don't know what I'm talking about, but I do. Okay, called it. Keep going.
You called it. Yeah, she's doing Funny Girl, and the reviews were just heinous. And wow. We had purchased tickets before the reviews, and it was also the day after the Tony nominations came out, where the show received literally one, and they thought they were going to get a billion because they have all these celebrities in it, and it's like one of the only revivals. They only nominated three revivals for Best Revival, and Funny Girl was not one of them.
So I love that they actually are like, the Tonys, and yeah, it was bad. Sorry, we're not even gonna literally do the, like
Beanie didn't get one, Jane Lynch didn't get one.
Oh no,
it just, and so I was wondering if it was gonna feel like a funeral sitting in the audience of the show because
it did.
I was surprised at how the audience rallied for them, they really did. And like,
that is actually a really cool experience,
it is cool. And also, Beanie, like, Beanie performed the show, and like, I was like, is she gonna call out? Like, the crazy small world thing is that I went to college with the girl who is Beanie Feldstein's standby, so she performs the role when Beanie is gone. And secretly, my husband and I were wondering if Beanie was going to call out, and then my friend was going to
that'd be kind of fun
perform, but she ended up not. But there have been some bootlegs going around of her the standby singing the,
it's good.
And it's great. Great. But the reason I bring this show up is because I walked out of the theater and I literally heard this like elderly white man go, I just saw Whoopi Goldberg. And I was like, I was like, you're fucking kidding
me. I saw this shit show. I could have seen Whoopi Goldberg.
She was across the street singing another show. I forget. Oh, it was,
That's so
was
New
it
York.
A Strange Loop? Was it the,
oh, it was Strange Loop. I love that musical.
I loved it. I saw it.
I've like, listened to that.
It's
like a
so
lot. I've never
good.
Seen it. Sorry. I've never
so
seen it. I to
saw
music.
It off Broadway before, like, not long before we, before the pandemic, and it was insane. And I hear the Broadway show is even more insane and incredible. Wow. I think it's going to win everything. But I was kind of wanting to see it again, but Matt was like, let's see Funny Girl. And I was like, okay. So I barely missed Whoopi Goldberg after Funny Girl, and I, like, all the cells in my body were like,
oh my god, that's why New York's so great. You can run into Whoopi Goldberg on Broadway.
I did run into her at a Columbus Circle. She was shopping for candy, and I followed.
She's so interesting because I'd love to say she's someone you should say hi to, but it's like, maybe not.
Oh, I did not. Yeah. I truly feel in my gut that I will be able to one day. Like, I just really.
It has to be
that.
The right context because she can like.
It does.
She can like go off on The View sometimes, but they all can.
She's a force. She is. I saw her at a screening of the Sister Act like anniversary. I forget how many years it was. And my friend got me a ticket to this screening where she showed up, and it was just an out of body experience. But again, I would not dare go up to her until I'm like doing a like once she realizes I have worth, then I'm going to say something to her.
Yeah. That's all of our dreams.
Oh my god. So I think actually this brought up a gorgeous conversation about Whoopi, and I think that you actually answered.
Yeah, now I get it. I need to watch more Whoopi Goldberg movies.
I agree with that. And I need to watch more French Canadian things and listen to more
Mommy by Xavier Dolan.
Mommy by Xavier Dolan when she gets in the Saint-Jean-Chapelle. I forget what you called it.
On a Saint-Jean-Chapelle. Oh my god. It's one of the best Celine Dion songs.
Wait, are you
so
a good singer?
No.
I think you are.
Mitch is a really good singer, so he like teaches me saying no so quickly. No, I'm not a good singer, but I like to sing. Like, I sing all the time. I sing and I dance all the time.
So are you saying that there's going to be a time when we're going to be singing and dancing high together?
Yes, I hope so. Where do you live, in LA?
I do.
Okay, yeah. We have to go to LA a lot for work.
Thank you.
Where in LA?
I'm on the east side. I'm right by Silver Lake.
Oh, nice. Awesome. Exactly where we like to stay.
Oh,
it's a big
thank
place.
God.
Big we, place.
We love. And you know what, Greg? We're going to be twirling, screaming, and dancing in that pause.
Akbar.
Literally.
Literally. Only good gay bar in the world. Okay.
Oh, I can't fucking wait.
That was hyperbolic.
It is the best in the world. I agree. I was there.
It's great. It's honestly a really cool gay bar.
It's so good. And people talk. People talk.
It's so nice. And there's a jukebox.
Listen, Greg, I don't want to take too much of your busy time. Where can people follow you?
So ASAP Science is predominantly a YouTube channel, but we also have Instagram, TikTok, Blur. My personal social media is at Whale Watch Me PLZ. Doesn't quite roll off the tongue.
Whale Watch Me, please.
Many people have told me to change that, but I love whales and I will not.
Nor should you. I think it's stunning, and your presence is gorgeous, social media and beyond. I can't thank you enough for doing That's a Gay Ass Podcast.
It was fun. I love talking about gay shit. Are you kidding?
It was such a dream. And Greg, I'll see you at Akbar.
See you at Akbar.
Life is a workout, and Smoothie King is here to help you power through. Whether you're crushing morning miles or sprinting through back-to-back meetings, give your body the energy, protein, and power it needs to help you conquer your goals. Only at Smoothie King.